almost as much work getting ready to preach as it is to get ready to go to Colorado. I'm trying to prove to my wife that early Christmas shopping is foolishness. I mean, I've got a whole nother week yet. Why hurry? You know, Jesus might come, and just think of all the wasted time if Jesus comes before Christmas. Amen. In Psalms chapter 125 today, please. Psalms chapter 125. And again, we're so thankful that you're here. Trust that we can be a blessing to you. Security by Christ Jesus is the title of the message today. Security by Christ Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus Christ didn't save me and forgive my sin, taking that all away, attaching that to the cross that he was going to die on for me. He didn't come to save me from my sin and then turn me loose to let me do whatever I wanted to do, to let me get back engaged in the whole sin situation again. But he watched over me and he's kept me. And just in case you turn off the thinking, I believe that before, I think the scriptures teach, and you could look this up another time in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, I believe that before the Lord would let one of his kids, me or you, sin to the point that he would have to give up on us, before that point came, Jesus would destroy our lives and take us to heaven. He said that the soul might be saved in the day of destruction, or the day of salvation. Deliver the such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved in the day of the salvation, the day of the Lord. And so if you don't get anything else out of the message today, understand this, that if you are ever saved, and I say if, because a lot of people I think they are, and they've never turned their life completely over to Christ. They've never admitted that he's all they need. They think they need him and baptism, or him and church membership, or him and communion, or him and buying Girl Scout cookies, or him and some other important thing. But the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What a wonderful Savior we have. Psalms chapter 125. Again, this is one of the songs of decrees. This is one of the songs that tradition and history believes that the Israelites would sing on their way back to Jerusalem at different times during the year for special services, special feasts that they were having. And here's one of the things that they would sing as they were going back. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good unto the Lord, unto those that be good. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Excuse me just a moment while I find out why my hearing aids are lying to me. I don't know why they're lying to me, but we'll fix them so they can't. Well, hallelujah. And by the way, I'm basically very happy with the hearing aids. And I mentioned again, as I mentioned Wednesday night, they have been completely paid for by love gifts from Bethel Baptist Church and friends thereof. And I am very, very thankful. What a gift. What a precious, precious gift. As we look at this portion of Scripture today, think on these things with me for a little bit. Let me ask you, do you believe we live today in a secure world? Well, if you don't, you're not alone. There are many, many people that would agree with you. Let's face it, it's difficult to believe that we're in a secure world when we have people in high places talking about war with China and maybe war with Russia and maybe war with both of them and the conflicts in the Middle East, and we're buying oil from Venezuela, one of the most crooked countries in the entire universe, and metal detectors in most schools today, and guns found in locker rooms in spite of the metal detectors, and people worry about the next pandemic. It's not, do we believe another pandemic is coming, but rather we're asking, when's it going to get here? And what's it going to be? And so we're surrounded by enemies. Some of them we can see. Some of them are so small we can't see. Some of them face us broadly and openly. And some of them hide around the corner for us, waiting for us to come by. And so given our state of the world today, it's easy to understand why someone might feel kind of insecure. That's something that we could probably understand. At the same time, not only do we have our social standing, but how about our incomes, and how about our job situations? I heard the other day of a man who went into a meeting. They had it was a large national company, and they had people coming in from all the brass coming in from all the different places, and that they had company businesses and offices and so forth. And as they came in, finished the meeting and everything, he said, "You can all go. You're dismissed, except for you, Wilson. You have to stay." Well, Mr. Wilson stayed, and the director of the meeting brought him up to a large map and showed him all these different colored pins all across the map, and he reminded the man what color his pin was and showed him where his pin was, and he says, "Wilson, I'm not going to fire you. I'm not going to fire you." But he reached up and wiggled that pin for a while. And he said, "But you might understand now that it's not real stable. It could fall out at any time." And there are people today who don't know from one day to the next when they go to work if they're going to have a job. And they might go and get sent back home and all those kinds of things. And so we have problems today as we think about the workplace and what's going on there. And there is no today real certainty in the job situation. Well, and then there's health, and there's life. There's a story told about an American tourist that went to Portugal, and he's going to go up on this 3,000-foot cliff because he wanted to visit this monastery that was up there. But the only way to get up there was to get into a basket, and two men would get a hold of a rope, and they'd walk out with this rope and draw this basket up 3,000 feet. Well, they did have places that they could confer with somebody on the way up, people that had gone up earlier and stayed at different marks on the way up. And so he's going up, and he looked over, and he saw the rope that he's being lifted with, and he saw this must be very old, and it's frayed, and it's frazzled, and it's coming apart. And he said to the man on the way past, he said, "Do y'all ever change this rope?" He said, "Yes, sir, every time it breaks." We're living in a situation today when we don't know what's going to break, what's going to happen. We get concerned about those kind of things, and we think about those things. But God wants His people to feel secure. The Lord Jesus wants us to feel safe. If our security is based on global security, job security, even health security, then probably we're going to be a basket of nerves all the time. But if we can trust the Lord, and so far he has proved that we can, if we can trust the Lord, God wants us to have peace that is so wonderful that the Bible describes it as passing all understanding. And so as we think about that, the Bible says here that no one or nothing can snatch us out of the Lord's hands. Think with me a little bit on that. No one or nothing can remove me from the hand of the Lord Jesus. He tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So if I understand the picture, God has said that I am twice secured, once by the Lord Jesus and once by the Father. So follow this simple illustration this morning, which we've done here before, but it's been some time, and maybe you could use it to encourage somebody. Here I have the name of someone that's important to me, probably sometimes more important than he should be. Let's say, Pastor Sutton. In December of 1966, Pastor Sutton was placed by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, by the Son of God, and the Father of God, Father God himself, he was placed inside the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was sealed. And then God in his wisdom and God in his mercy said, that's not good enough. Because if he's only relying on me, there could come a time when he would doubt and he would become skeptical and he would worry and he'd fret and he'd wonder. And so let's do this. Let's take Brother Sutton, who is now in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how come he's Brother Sutton. And let's put him in Jesus Christ and then Jesus Christ in him into God the Father. And so now I'm twice secure. And then God in his wisdom said, you know, he's a nut. He's going to doubt a lot of things. And so let's do this. Let's just take the whole thing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed. Now listen to this. By whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And how many times has the Holy Spirit of God reminded me, you're not sealed until the first time you make a mistake. You're not sealed until the first time you sin. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so the Holy Spirit of God then is sealing the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I'm three times sealed now by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is no way, no way, if I ever got in there and it was closed and sealed, there's no way I could get out. If I wanted out, I couldn't get out. Now, God might deliver me from this place and take me to heaven early if I get reckless or careless or thoughtless in my life, my personal life. If I sin to a place, God says, no, you're more of an embarrassment than you are a help. Come on up here. We'll get rid of you, get you out of there. Why cumberest thou the ground? Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Romans chapter number 8. A very familiar portion of Scripture, but very necessary for us to look at today. Romans chapter number 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 35. Oh, I hope you believe the Bible's true. Oh, I hope you believe that the Holy Ghost of God inspired men and they wrote as they were inspired by Him, and that every word in this book is exactly the word God would have for us today. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 35, the Apostle Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, when I saw that word who, after reading the context of what's here, I said, not them and not me. Because I'm a who. You're a who. And there's other things that God uses under the term of who that can't separate us. Notice what he says. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the question today isn't, can you get unsaved? The question today is, have you ever been saved? Because if you have been saved, you're a new person in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God deals with us differently. The things we used to want to do, now we have an aversion to those. We may still continue to do them for a while, but we don't want to do them. And the things we didn't want to do before, sometimes we're reluctant to jump in and just do them, but we want to do them even though we didn't want to before. We're different when Jesus comes in to live in our heart and live in our life. So the Bible testifies in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 125, in verse number 2, it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. Round about his people. From henceforth forevermore. The Bible says he's round about us. Just like the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about us. He's got every entrance into our life guarded and well guarded. And he supports every part of our life to where nothing can come into us without passing by his permissive will. And we need today to understand that. And so God uses this city, and I can hear the children of Israel as they're going back to Jerusalem. They're singing this city, singing this song about Jerusalem and going back about the security that they have in Christ. And as they go back to Jerusalem, they understand. They see this city, and evidently Jerusalem has to be approached from a high place. It must be down low. There are seven mountains around it. And so they go down. No, excuse me, seven mountains aren't around Jerusalem. That's the wrong city I'm thinking of. The Bible just talks about mountains. That are around as the mountains are around about it. And so you must have to come down. As they come down into the city, they see all these hills, these mountains around it, and they say, I believe Jerusalem is secure. The only way anybody's going to harm Jerusalem is with the Lord's permission. That is how secure I am. No one can harm me without the Lord's permission. And that's a good thing to be. And so God uses the physical, those mountains. He uses the physical to teach us a spiritual lesson. And that's what he does so often in our lives. And so the Lord is forever our protection. In Psalms chapter 46, and beginning in verse number 1, we find these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. He says, stop and think about that just a minute. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens with our job, no matter what happens with our help, God's still God, and we're still secure if we're saved. You can probably glance right over across the page there to Psalms 121. Notice verse number 1. Well, actually, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And then if you drop down to verse 8 of chapter 124, the Bible says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so the Bible testifies that God wants to take care of us. He wants to watch over us. And again, I believe he'll take us to glory before he kicks us out and we lose our salvation. Now, in our text, in verse number 1, the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord. We need to ask ourselves the question, do we trust in the Lord? I mean, do we really trust in the Lord? Has there been a time as a hell-bound sinner that we came to the Lord Jesus, came to God the Father, the Holy Spirit of God enlightening us, the Holy Spirit of God leading us, and we believed that we were on our road to hell? We believed we were on the broad road that leads to destruction. And because we believed that, and we believed that there was nothing we could do, we cried out for mercy and asked the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, who was buried, who 72 hours later got up over sin, death, and the grave to prove that his sacrifice was sufficient and accepted by the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for us today. And we ask that living Savior to come into our hearts and be our Savior. And we trusted in him. Have we done that? If we've done that, we're saved. If we haven't done that, we're not. Listen to what the wise man said in the book of Proverbs. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Brother James said a while ago, God doesn't just want a room, he wants all the room. What a thoughtful statement. And so the Bible says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then listen to what it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so God cautions us. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a wonderful promise we have. While we feel that feelings are important, and sometimes they very much are important. They are important to us. But my feelings tell me next to nothing about the Lord or about my relationship with him. My security comes from the Lord himself, not from how I feel. Man, I get up some mornings and I feel like I could make it to the first cup of coffee. Pretty sure I can do that. Sometimes I get up and I have the day planned and it seems like, woo, we got to do this. We're going to get all this done. Sometimes I get up and I say, oh, isn't there something I can cross off that list in my mind even before I get out of bed? What I'm saying is sometimes I feel saved and sometimes I feel terrible, but I'm still saved. I'm still saved. And so we need to understand that. The Bible says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. As we think about the text, in verse number 3, now this is important. Listen to verse number 3. Here, listen, please listen to this. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. God says the rod of the wicked. Now, the rod God is going to use to chasten the wicked. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the righteous, upon the lot of the righteous. God is not going to allow his children to be spanked or chastened by him the same way lost people are. Now, God spanks us whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Listen, if you're dilly-dallying in sin and God's not spanking you, you're not saved, period. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. You're an illegal child. If you're living in sin and God's not spanking you, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. Did I mention you're not saved? If you can live in sin and God not spank you, it's because you're not saved. Simply put, it's because you're not saved. But the rod of the wicked is not going to rest upon us. It's not going to rest upon us. And God even tells us in this verse why. And I've never seen this. It never came out to me as plain as it did when I was studying for the message today. Listen to what it says. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. God is saying, I'm not going to spank you to the place that you're going to give up. I'm not going to let judgment come into your life to the place you're going to give up. Because if I did that, you would find an excuse and you'd say, I'm living in sin today because God spanked me. God said, no. Isn't that what he says? He says, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. God says, I'm not going to spank you like I do the lost people. I'm not going to do that. But I will spank you enough to get your attention if you're living in sin. And we need today to understand that. Listen to what the scripture says. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Someone else is going through exactly the same thing you're going through. They're struggling just as much as you are. And whether they make it or you make it is going to depend on which way you're looking when the hard times come. Because when we're looking to Jesus, we'll sense his energy, we'll sense his presence, we'll sense his comfort, we'll sense his leadership, we'll sense his peace, and we'll keep on keeping on. When we're looking somewhere else, it's not a guarantee that we'll get up and get going. Well, we need to understand that that happens in life. Well, I started the message this... No, let me tell another story here. A young man went to his pastor and he said he had just recently been saved, and he was certain that he was saved. He remembered turning from his sin to the Lord, turning to Jesus from his sin, and he'd gone through all that in his mind and in his heart, and he did believe that Jesus died for him. He believed that Jesus rose up. He knew he needed a Savior, and Jesus was the only one, and he asked him to be his Savior. But after wrestling with different sin in his life for some time, he went to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I fear that maybe I have disobeyed the Lord. I don't want to disobey him, but I find myself continually disobeying him, doing things I'm not supposed to do, and then sorry for it when I've done it. And I just got to know, has God turned his back on me?" Well, the preacher, knowing the Word of God and knowing that a picture is worth a thousand words, he said to the young man, he said, "You see this dog here?" I imagine the dog's name was Sasha. I think it must have been Sasha. And he said, "This dog is a very obedient dog. This dog is housebroke. This dog obeys what I say to do. This dog comes when I tell it to come. It sits when I tell it to sit. It lays down when I tell it to lay down. It stands up on its feet when I tell it to stand up. It turns around when I tell it to turn around. It turns around the other way when I tell it to turn around. It goes around the table when I tell it to go around. This dog is an obedient dog." In the kitchen, I have a young son. He's in a high chair. And nearly every time his mama feeds him, food will get all over his kitchen table, his high chair table. It'll get on the floor. It'll get all over him. His mama cleans everything up, cleans him up some, and before the day's over, chances are he's going to wet his britches and soil his pants. Chances are. He's going to do a lot of things. If he sees a scarf or something on the edge of a table, he may pull it off and spill something on the floor. He is a mess sometimes. But when I die, who is going to receive the inheritance that I leave? Is it going to be my dog, or is it going to be my boy? And that's the way the Lord works in our life. God has an inheritance for us that we're going to receive. Now, if that daddy is smart, he's training his boy. And when the boy is 16 years old, he's probably not doing all of those things or any of those things that he was doing before. But he has to grow, and he has to become used to what God wants him to do, and he has to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and be willing to obey what God says to do. And that's called maturing. That's called growth. That's calling loving Jesus more than you love sin and doing what God wants us to do. But during that growth process, which starts when we get saved, it will be concluded when we stand before Jesus. So from there to there is a growth process. And we're still growing. We're still learning. We're still operating by faith. And God tells us, "No, I'm not going to give things to my dog. I'm going to give them to my descendants. I'm going to give them to my son." And that's the way it is with the things that God has in store for his people. He's not going to take away those things, because eternal life especially, because we disobey him, because we're not excited about doing what he says to do. God is very, very patient. There's not a person in here, listen to me today, There's not a person in here that God wouldn't have taken us out of this life 100 times before if he wasn't a very patient God. But he is patient. And his patience is based on his love for us. And if he loved us while we were in the world and completely his enemies, how much more he must love us now that we've embraced his Son and call him our Lord and call him our Savior. And so this morning the question is, who are you trusting? What are you trusting? One of these days, each one of us, probably at different times, are going to step out of our body. Our body will be here left to whatever results happens. And our soul and either a live spirit or a dead spirit are going to depart from that body. If the spirit is dead, the soul's going to go to hell. If the spirit is alive, the soul is going to go to heaven. And one day, the Lord is going to resurrect those bodies and put the saved people's bodies up here and put the lost people's bodies in hell. God is going to prepare the new body for the people in heaven. God's going to make them an immortal body, and God is going to make an indestructible body for those people in hell. But the difference between the one who went to heaven and the one who went to hell is, what were they trusting in? If you're trusting in the baptismal pool, you're going to hell. If you're trusting in good works, you're going to hell. But you can't fully trust in Jesus Christ and go anywhere but to heaven. So who are you trusting? What are you trusting today? Some botanists were in the Alps looking for new plant life. They had heard that there was some flowers there that they never had a picture of, never had a record of, and they wanted to see them. And so they went to the Alps, and they're there and looking for these things with binoculars. And finally, a man saw one way down in a canyon, way down in a gorge. He saw this plant. He couldn't identify it. And so he says, somebody has to go down and get it. But they realized the only way you could get down there was with a rope. And so he looked around, and everybody's going, not me, not me, uh-uh. No, sir, take a picture of it from here. I'm not going down. And finally he went to a local younger fella, and he said, would you go down there and get that plant for us? Would you do that? And the man said, just a minute. And he left. And he came back, and he had an older man with him. And he said, yes, I'll go down and get your plant, but this man has to hold the rope. And they said, who's this man? He said, he's my dad. He won't turn loose. If God the Father is really your Father, I promise you today, he won't turn loose. You're secure in Christ Jesus. You're held not by your works. You're held by what Jesus did on the cross and who Jesus is and the things that he conquered those on your behalf. And that's why we say here often that the gift that we have when we receive Jesus is eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. And today, you either have that or you don't. You're not anywhere in between. You're saved or you're lost. And Jesus wants you saved. What do you want? Let's bow our heads, please.